Chapter 21. Horace? I held onto Horace's arm in order to keep him upright on his knees so he wouldn't topple to the side.
I'm fine,
he mumbled, before he lost the battle with consciousness, lurched forward, and fainted dead away with his forehead coming to crash against my shoulder.
What's wrong with him?
Shay asked, as she crouched down next to us with Amaya quick on the Phoenix woman's heels. I don't know, I said, as I gently pushed the Falcon Man back, so he was now sitting propped up against the wall. Amaya, can you figure out what's in his head?
I'll try,
she said, as she cupped his slack face. But she didn't have to make contact for too long before she pulled back and then examined his still tightly clenched hands.
He's briefly conserving his energy. It's like he used up all his power and half of his reserves in one go. He'll come around in a moment.
The idiot should have done them one at a time.
Anwar tisked through her teeth and lightly brushed a few strands of hair away from the Falcon Man's face.
Maybe so,
he suddenly croaked, and squinted his eyes open with a hiss.
Are you okay, brother?
Shay asked and gripped his knee.
I'm... Ow!
He hissed, and he looked down at his lap, almost like he was confused as to why he was still clenching his fist so tightly, or why it hurt to be jostled. He brought both fists up to eye level. And with a painful-looking grimace, the Falcon Man pried his fingers open and turned an interesting shade of pale at how burnt his palms were. I felt guilty at sight of the damage, but the fact two fused Herald cores were shining brightly in his palms lessened the feeling.
Alex, we did it,
Horace said in a thready voice on the edge of hysteria.
Yeah, we did,
I grinned at him. He grinned back until he glanced down, and his smile fell flat.
Alex, my hands.
I know, buddy, I said, and squeezed the back of his neck. We'll get it figured out for you, don't worry.
Let me try,
Shay said, as I carefully removed the fused cores from his charred hands. He whimpered and I tried to quell the churning in my stomach when I saw the damage up close. Big flaps of onion-like skin were peeling away from the epicenters of his palms, and the dead skin was already starting to turn a grayish color while the bullseyes on his hands were an angry red edged in black. I caught Shay's eye, and her expression of alarm felt like it matched the one on my face. She shook her head slightly and then focused deep by closing her eyes. Tears coursed down her cheeks, and just like they did in the caves for Amaya, the tears gently lifted off her face so they could do their little whirligig dance around both of Horace's hands. He huffed a breath and tipped his head back against the wall.
That's better. Thank you, Shaylee.
Jeez, Horace, I teased quietly as we waited for Shay's magic to finish mending the Falcon Man's hands.
Always the dramatic one. You know me, he grunted. Love an audience.
Did you know this would happen?
Anwar asked him, as she crossed her arms over her chest.
I had wondered briefly about the effects of trying to merge the cores before they were tempered by the metal of the blades, but alas, there was nothing for it, he said, as his teeth began to chatter with shock.
Yeah, no, you're not doing that again until we can figure out a way for you not to melt the flesh off your hands, I said, and examined the remains of the damage. For the most part, it seemed as if the Phoenix woman's tears had done the trick. When the last of them evaporated, the only sign Horace had been burned were the two scarred patches that appeared in the middle of his palms.
Will the feeling in them come back? Horace whispered as he flexed his fingers.
I don't know,
Shay panted, and leaned heavily against me as her own energy became taxed.
Come here, my love,
Zoe murmured, and she helped the Phoenix woman up off the floor and over to a small stool to rest. Meanwhile, Anwar and I helped to get Horace back up to his feet. He swayed slightly, but I kept a firm hold on his elbow until I knew for sure he wouldn't just up and ruin Shay's hard work with a faceplant. He was still pale and sickly-looking, but he had a determined expression on his normally roguish face.
"Give me your swords," he demanded.
No, I said, and stepped back from him, trying to get at the dual blade strapped to my back.
"Come on, Chief, I can do it," he said,
as he made grabby hands for my swords again.
"This part's the standard part, remember?"
"Yeah, but now we essentially have two completely brand new cores that have never existed before," I reasoned. "Who's to say it'll react according to standards?"
"We're so close," he argued,
and I balked.
Let me do this."
He was right. We had already come so far. fine, I muttered, as I unsheathed both blades and set them down on the workbench next to the Herald cores. But if you die, I'm going to kill you.
Same,
the Ibex woman deadpanned. Fair enough, Horus replied, and picked up one of the blades along with one of the cores. We all stood around the alchemist with bated breaths as he merged the first of the stones into the base where the blade met the hilt. The metal itself shimmered like it was dipped in an iridescent decal, and the orange and green made an interesting patina on the blade's black chrome-like surface. How do you feel? I asked when the Falcon Man's eyes had returned to their normal gold-green. Aside from the fact I still can't feel my hands, I feel fantastic. He grinned his megawatt grin and eagerly reached for the second set. Next! The alchemist repeated the process with the second sword until the dual blades had that matching oil-stained look.
Do you think it worked?
Zoe asked as she peered at the metal. Only one way to find out. Horus rubbed his hands together like some evil scientist. Madam Fasha, show me your forge. The forge was a modest one with a small stone hearth, a worn anvil, and a bellows system underneath that allowed the blacksmith to stoke the flames by stepping on a large pedal. Judging by Horace's reaction, however, it looked like he'd hit the lottery as he reverently brushed his fingers over the typical blacksmith tools, such as metal tongs, ball-peen hammers, and draw plates used to draw heated metal through various sized holes depending on the thickness of chain link needed.
Will this do for you, Master Alchemist?
The compy woman asked, and I was surprised to hear the title of respect roll off her tongue. Apparently, I wasn't the only one impressed with Horace's power. It's perfect, Fasha, the Falcon Man said, and he started stoking up the fire in the hearth. Alex, hand me a sword. Let me show you the fun part. I grinned and tossed Horace one of my blades. Then Fasha supplied both of us with battered but thick gloves and heavy leather aprons to protect us from the heat and any sparks thrown from hammering. In typical blacksmithing, in order to separate the iron from the ore, the smith must knock off the slag after it is superheated and malleable to get at the pure metal underneath, Horus explained, as he used the tongs to hold the sword in the super-hot coals until it glowed a magma-like red. Because this blade was imbued with the core of a demon, it has been tainted and mustn't be used until it has gone through one more refining process. He then brought the sword out of the supercharged fire and quickly transferred it over the anvil, where he had a medium-sized sledgehammer waiting for him. I watched from a safe distance as Horus pounded the blade against the anvil and a shower of red and green sparks combined, and in that moment I could tell why this was the Falcon Man's obvious passion. There was a rhythm to the way he brought the hammer down, and every time it landed, there was an eruption of sparks that scattered like fireflies. There was also something satisfying in watching the caked outer layer of the slag crumble away, and I couldn't wait to try the whole process myself. Eventually, Horus deemed the forging complete, and he demonstrated this by dunking the glowing sword into a wooden barrel of water. The hot metal hissed and spat as a plume of steam billowed up toward the sky, and after a minute or two, the Falcon Man brandished my blade with a triumphant smile. And now the patina on the outside is gone, do you see? He asked, as he twisted and turned the blade with the tongs, so we could see the absence of the greenish-orange sheen. That's awesome, I breathed. Do you think it worked? I don't see a life symbol at the base, Horus said, as he brought the blade closer to his face with the tongs still in his hands. So either it didn't work and the Herald cores are now useless, or it did and we'll just have to wait for you to try it out. If you can summon its supernatural powers like you did with your other sword, then we'll know it worked. We took a moment to grin at each other in triumph, but the moment was sadly short-lived as a familiar hellish drone ripped through the air, and the sky became awash in red. Oh, bloody! Horus dropped the sword into the barrel of water with a splash, at the same time as Fasha screamed.
Scourge! Scourge!
The compy woman hollered, just as a loud bell began tolling from the center of the village.
Shit!
I said, and plunged my hand down into the barrel to retrieve the sword.
Madam Fasha!
Shay grabbed the hysterical woman by the shoulders so she would stop yelling her head off.
Go inside and board up your windows! I can't!
She wailed.
The children!
Zoe and Shay looked at each other and then at me. What children, Fasha? I asked, as I shook off the water from my sword.
the village had two bunkers for the children, but the last one was destroyed with the last red sun.
She wailed as she led us all through her house and back on the street.
It's too soon! We haven't been able to repair it, and there's nowhere for them to go!
Where would they be taking them instead? I asked, as we ran through the streets while other lowish Terrans were scrambling to arm themselves against the spawning demons molding up from the ground. Sadly, the only available weapons were typical of farmers and trade folk. And, of course, none of them were Ashers, so it was no wonder this poor place was being ravaged within an inch of its life. Another howl reverberated through our feet, and a collection of three lesser demons formed up like some sick stop-motion horror film right in front of us.
Ah!
Fasha screamed, and I quickly looped an arm around her waist and swung her bodily away from a scourge mite that wanted to take a chunk out of her like she was a Slim Jim. The children, Fasha! I barked, as I thrust my one blade through the demon's heart. The fucker wailed, collapsed on the ground at our feet, and immediately began to crumble like a campfire log.
What?
Fasha stuttered as she stared at the ash demon with her bulging purple eyes. Where are the kids? I bellowed, as I quickly dispatched the remaining two lesser demons.
The grain bin!
She jolted, as if she was trying to snap herself out of her daze.
We've had a low harvest, so there's one that is unoccupied this way.
With renewed vigor, we sprinted behind the compy woman and took out the one or two demons in our path. But the closer we ran to the farm on the outskirts of the village, more and more of them seemed to be ganging up on any of the farmers or livestock that remained.
Back, Darkspawn, back!
One of the Terrans yelled, as he brandished a grain scythe against five lesser demons. Behind him was a dilapidated barn, and through the gaping holes where the wooden slats had been ravaged and torn away from previous attacks, a pair of Porax wailed with fear.
Someone has to help them,
Zoe cried out. I agree, I said. We need to split up.
But the children,
Fasha urged. Horace, you take Shay and Anwar and help those farmers, I instructed. Zoe and Amaya, you're with me.
We got it, Chief, Horace confirmed. We'll come and find you afterwards, don't worry. Just get to those kids.
With that, Horace and his team peeled off to the right and jumped the split rail fence so they could assist the farmers.
Hurry, Esha!
The compy woman screamed as she pointed to the large silo surrounded by 10 scourge mites, and one of those nasty-ass stump demons I'd only ever encountered once before. Its grotesque and bloated body was anchored into the ground while its huge bear-trap jaws snapped ravenously. The tentacles sprouting from its back lashed up a storm, and anything within reach, like rocks and any other possible shrapnel laying around, was fair game for the vile thing to lob at the group of villagers trying to defend the large circular structure.
Zoe, up top!
I pointed at the side of the grain bin, where one of the demons was using its six legs to claw its way up to one of the holes near the roof.
Rah!
The cat warrior gave her battle cry as she threw two of her sharp knives at the demon, and it shrieked and dropped off the side where Siskern was with his whip. With a mighty crack, the scourge mite was split from top to tail and collapsed into two piles of smoldering ash.
Amaya!
I slashed down another demon that abruptly formed up from the ground.
I'm going to carve a path! Get to the children!
Then I surged forward where the demons were tightening their ranks around the small group of ill-equipped villagers.
Come, husband,
Zoe said after she dropped another demon with her katana this time.
Let us make short work of this scourge.
If I wasn't busy lopping the head off my current demon, I would have devoured her mouth in an epic kiss worthy of being airbrushed on the side of an 80s cargo van. But for now, we had some fucking demons to kill.
Roar!
The stump demon snatched at the ankle of a Terran and was now pulling its catch toward its razor-sharp jaws.
Fuck off!
I growled and brought my sword down through the ropey tentacle. It wailed and sucked the remains of the appendage back toward its body, and I lent a hand down to help up the Terran who had almost been eaten.
Mercedes!
The Terran happened to be Thass, and when I helped him back to his feet, he gave me a curt nod.
Look out!
I grabbed him once more, and we both ducked as a decent-sized boulder came sailing through the air over our heads.
Thank you,
Thass panted. No problem, I said, and tossed him the large wooden club he'd dropped on the ground. A big explosion took place as the stump demon resorted to throwing other demons at the silo, and the smaller scourge mites smashed against the side hard enough that another piece of wood broke off and landed on the ground.
Crack! Back to the dock from whence you came, demon!
Siskern snapped his whip again, and even though he dropped the lesser demon, he also made the hole in the side of the structure even wider.
Alex, throw me!
Zoe suddenly yelled, and I saw the stump demon was about to chuck another scourge mite directly inside the grain bin where all the children were. In a fluid motion we'd only recently practiced once or twice, I sheathed my sword, dropped to one knee, and laced my fingers to make a launch pad with my hands. Then she ran at me at full tilt, and I used her momentum to rocket her up in the air.
Row!
She cried out again, and intercepted the demon sailing through the air with her katana. Another howl shook the ground as more demons formed to join the fray, and the ranks around us shrank even more. The villagers fought back with a fury, and when the stump demon started launching more and more scourge mites into the air, the villagers began throwing each other into the air just like I had with Zoe in order to stop them.
Fasha!
Leader Zare shouted, and then tossed the compy woman straight up where she did a backflip and kicked the demon out of the air.
Scree!
It screamed, and landed upside down onto someone's pitchfork. Which was awesome, but the demons kept coming, and I felt myself flagging. I wanted to call up my time trance, but every time I felt its power on the fringes of my mind, that ache would blare in my ears, and the disorienting ringing threatened to distract me. This was not something I could afford, especially since the stump demon seemed even more pissed off than before. The disfigured, twisted mass bellowed, and a cracking sound could be heard coming from the ground where it was anchored.
It's trying to move!
Siskrin's voice was as horrified as I felt when I realized he was right, and the stump demon tore its root-like limbs out of the hard ground and then started to drag itself toward us with its tentacles. The circle around us tightened even more, and just when I thought my arm was about to fall off from beating back demons left and right, a loud bellow heralded the arrival of Horus and the other farmers.
Die, Scourge!
Horus let loose a series of arrows and pinned some of the stump demon's tentacles to the ground.
Keep doing that, H!
I hollered as I stabbed the demon I was fighting in the heart, and then I tried to get closer to the stump demon.
We have to take it down! Got it!
Horus confirmed.
Shay!
I spotted her wielding her rock sling with a fierce look on her face.
Try to get to the silo and check on the kids!
I slashed at a tentacle, and then sidekicked the stump demon's over-large mandible, so its head snapped to the side before it could slice a villager in half. More tentacles erupted from its back, and it was all I could do to keep up with the frenzy of hack, slash, and repeat. Suddenly the blade in my hand thrummed with a familiar power, and without consciously having to think about it, my movements and actions came fluidly as if the blade itself was an extension of my arm. My speed was like no other, and tentacle after tentacle dropped to the ground. The demon wailed and lurched toward me with its jaws, and in order to avoid my head parting from my body, I jammed my blade horizontally between the pincers to prevent them from snapping closed.
Gah!
I roared as the demon slashed me with its stumpy and oozing tentacles. My muscles ached from holding it at bay, and my feet were slowly losing purchase against the rocky ground as it shoved me back.
Chief!
Horus yelled, and scrambled on top of the stump demon's mass of slashed tentacles. With a mighty cry, the Falcon Man placed his foot on the back of the demon's neck, loaded not two, but three arrows, and fired point-blank into the fucker's skull. Then he flipped over the top to stand behind me.
Duck!
I hit the deck right when Horus let his last arrow fly, and because my sword was jamming its mouth open, the arrow flew down the demon's massive gullet. What happened next completely changed the game forevermore. A flashbang erupted when Horus's arrow hit home, and the creature shrieked in rage. Ash and smoke vomited out through its still open maw, and I rolled out of the way and up to my feet as it continued to make gagging, sputtering noises. It finally collapsed in a heap of smoldering ashes at Horus's feet, and I watched in awe as a pure white glow appeared just like it would with a herald core. Only when the light faded and the clear quartz stone was left behind, I noticed a very familiar etching of both a shield and a fish that matched the stone around my neck. The red sky faded, and the carcasses of the demons that weren't turned to ash from either Siskern or I molded back into the earth.
Alex?
Horus queried in an odd voice as he looked down at the stone still glowing faintly atop the stump demon's ash pile.
Did I just kill a herald?